everyone, and welcome to our limited edition podcast for Decoded Pride Issue 2. We are super pumped to have you with us, and today we're speaking with a small round table of creators about their creative process, why queer speculative fiction matters so much, and where you can pick up our amazing new anthology. Spoiler, it's at decodedpride.com.
Welcome, everyone. I am your host and today the moderator, Sarah Century. Now, I have a couple of guests with me today, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. What's your name and which story did you write for Decoded?
My name's Dave Ring, and I wrote An Offering to the Sun for the anthology.
My name is Liko Setsumo, and I wrote Determined for the anthology.
What was the inspiration behind writing your story? What was the thing that made you want to write the story that you wrote?
Well, why did I write Determined? I think, you know, for a while I have been battling with the idea of regret and fault and choice. And I think I was kind of like internally going through a lot because I recently out of a breakup and moving into different phases of my life and different spaces and forming new relationships. And sometimes you find yourself just sitting and thinking about what have you done and how could you have done things differently? And, I think just that kind of internal dance with misunderstanding, or rather kind of like painting past choices in a different light with myself, made me ask the question, you know, what is my life and how do I make my choices? So I wrote Determined to kind of decipher some of those questions. I mean, not all of them are answered, but that's the basic, starting point for the short.
When I read your story, I was actually had just been having a similar conversation about choices and, you know, what avenues are still available for us to explore and which ones are closed off. So I thought it was a cool exploration of that thing that was very present in my life as well. My story is more about like being honest with your own desires. And if I could go back in time and make past Dave more honest with himself and, you know, thinking about what it takes to actually go after what you want versus like denying that part of yourself. So that was what my story was trying to explore.
Yeah, I think both of your stories were very successful in those themes. So how did you choose the short story format? Did you envision this story as being a short story, or were you thinking of doing something longer and ended up shorter? Did you want to do it as a comic first and it ended up a short story? Like, what was the process behind you choosing the short story?
I read a lot of short work, and I don't know, some people have the problem where they write too long and they have to distill things down, whereas I tend to write really short and have to like drag the additional words out of me. So, you know, mine is maybe like 1,000 words, and it's been that length in every like iteration of revision. It's like stayed around that place. So it's like the shot class equivalent of a story.
I can't really say I have a process because this is my first short story. This is my first story really ever. I think in the past I've probably written like half of a play, but apart from that, I'm not much of a fictional writer. I don't know why I chose a short. I think I feel like it's where the story ended. And I didn't want to drag it on too long, and to kind of, to wring too much of it, I just wanted to keep it as it was.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. I think that every story kind of chooses how long it's going to be, right? Like, that has been a recurring theme for me. The piece that I ended up writing this year is longer than just about anything else that I've written. I've only written a couple of long pieces ever. Yeah, everybody is such a different writer. So I think that that's always interesting to hear about the process. So are there parts of your story that you plan to revisit in the future? Is there stuff in your story that you think you're going to come back to?
I don't think so. Hey, I think the story has kind of taken its life now, and it's I have given it to the universe for it to do with it what it will. I think although I did start to fall in love with the characters in ways, I don't want to kind of get to know my idols too much. I think it's okay that I've only seen a snippet of their lives, and I've let go.
I appreciate that sentiment. I've come back to other like connected stories before, so I wouldn't rule it out. And it feels gauche to talk about what reactions to it have been from other places, but I did have one venue suggest, and you know, this is a 1,000-word story, and they were like, I really feel like this should be a novel. And it sort of was like, that's not super helpful for revision notes. Like, it's not going to be a novel, but
like, I'll just add 29,000 words to this real quick, I guess.
Three times. Like, yeah. Like, that's like, I don't know. It was kind of a wild bit of feedback, but, so I could see maybe coming back to it. I've got a couple other recurring characters that I have some like linked either flash or longer work related to it. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I love the idea of not wanting to get to know my idols too well, and I will think about that if that's the right decision for other work. So I appreciate that.
That is really funny. It did make me laugh to be like, oh yeah, I guess maybe sometimes whenever I'm writing, I'll end up with a character that you don't like as much anymore because you got to know them too good.
That's always a risk.
It's always risk. Was there anything that you learned about your creative process while you were writing this piece? Because I know that, you know, time and time again, whenever I'm writing, it's like almost every piece teaches me something new, regardless of if I wanted to learn it or not, right? So was there something about your creative process that just dawned on you while you were working on this? Was there like a light bulb moment and you realized, oh, I like this, or I do things this way?
Well, so there's two big kind of pieces in this that I was pulling on. One is like a bit of nostalgia, like I set the story essentially in the rundown park at the end of the street that I grew up on. And initially it wasn't a speculative story. And so two things there. One, I was like, do I like writing things that are in some ways revering nonfiction? And then I realized I didn't. And then I was like, let's make this as unlike what actually happened in that park as possible. And then the other bit was about, just writing like literary fiction or like non-speculative work. And I considered trying to keep it non-speculative so that I could submit it to different markets, and it didn't feel like it was connecting the same way. The story has werewolves in it, and so I wanted to play with like what that means in our heads, like werewolves are always like a symbol of like the id, or like our base desires. And I liked playing with that, whereas before I introduced that element, it wasn't landing the same way. So I think those maybe were lessons. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I think, you know, writing this story has been like a new beginning for me. It's opened my life to a whole new craft that I never really considered as something that I could potentially partake in. So I think the easier question would be, what have I not learned? because every step of the way has been a learning process, you know, from writing the story to submitting it, the fear of rejection, the excitement of being accepted, you know, learning, you know, from the editors, you know, in terms of how to, I guess, structure a story. And I'm terrible with grammar, so I'm always grateful to be able to spot the difference when somebody has gone through something I've worked on and is, you know, kind of just rearranged it to make it look right. So everything has been a learning experience. And I think also from the story itself, I've learned the importance of letting go, you know. So, I've been very appreciative of the whole experience, I must say. And thank you to the Decoded team for, you know, opening that space of the world to me.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Thank you so much for sending your story. It was like an embarrassment of riches this year. We had so, so many good stories sent to us, and every one that we ended up choosing is just, you know, so perfect. And one of the things I love the most about doing this anthology is that we debut one of the stories every single day of June. So just kind of seeing them all come together as this sort of puzzle, because I see the pieces, but I don't see the whole, you know, I see the whole at the same time everybody else does. So that's been something that's been really amazing for me. I speak for the whole team, you know, like every single story we like definitely all loved. So thank you, obviously, for submitting. And that was kind of going to be my next question. Why did you choose Decoded to submit to? What was the process behind that?
How did I actually find the Decoded, the call? I think a friend sent it to me. I was busy writing a proposal for like, you know, an NGO, and I was like in my head and just exhausted and trying to just string pieces of myself together and just figure out what the hell's going on in my life. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Maybe I should try write a short story. So that's how, I can't say I chose Decoded to submit to. Decoded came to me and I was like, this is exciting. Let me try it out. And it was just, you know, blessings from the minute, you know, my friend sent the link to now. Yeah.
I was just trying as fast as I could to see if I could figure out the trail of breadcrumbs that led me to submit, and I couldn't quit. I want to say, I edit a flash fiction, a speculative queer flash fiction magazine called Baffling Magazine, and one of the people who's in one of our issues, I want to say that one of their first pieces was published by y'all last year, and then when I looked y'all up, the call was there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Awesome. That's great.
So I'll have to peek to remember exactly who it was. My first guess was wrong, so I'm going to look again. But that was how the call ended up in my hands anyway.
I see. Yeah. I think last year we were listed on, you know, like Horror Tree and like all of that. So I think that we actually had more submissions last year. I think that there was like a little bit more. It just was shared in on more websites, I guess. But this year it was mostly, it seems like, really word of mouth, which is kind of great. Everybody submitted incredible pieces. We got over 150 and it was just great. My favorite part of the year is just reading through like the slush pile, basically.
Oh, sorry. I did just find the name. It was Maria Dong. She was in last year.
She did our website as well.
Yeah, Maria's awesome. She's doing and she's not in Baffling. I wish she was in Baffling. She's doing a live reading for me later in the month. It's the breadcrumbs were all in the wrong order, apparently.
I loved her story. Like that, it was incredible, and what a dream to work with, honestly.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So that was the connection. Sorry, what's the new question?
Is there a genre that you haven't ever written in that you would like to give a try?
Yes. I just really like genres as a framework and as like constraint. So I love when I see a cool call for submissions asking for stories in a particular genre, especially if the other criteria they're looking for is something that is in my wheelhouse. So anytime I see that, it's like grist for the mill. So I've been thinking a lot about Gothic writing lately, maybe like everyone else who read Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia. Like
exactly, right. Yeah.
So, and there's just a few other works like Yellow Jessamine by Caitlin Starling that my press put out last year. And then I just read The Atrocities by Jeremy Shipp, which is like a perfect little bite-sized Gothic novella. So that's what's calling me right now. But I just love playing with genre and thinking of it as, you know, use these four walls to write whatever weird stuff you're going to write. And having those walls put in place by somebody else is pretty freeing, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to try anything and everything I can, really. I think I've become quite excited about this new kind of space of adventure in my life. So I can't say specifically what exactly I do and do not want to try. I can't even say what I have and have not done, because I'm not even sure what determined would fall under, if I'm being quite honest. But I'm just ready and waiting to grow and become in whichever spaces, are ready to hold me and my work. My story is about a traveler, and they have been traveling for a couple of centuries now, and basically they travel through the universe, and when they land in a space, they are reconstituted with matter. So they don't travel with matter, they leave matter behind and they take on new matter as they go. And they fall in love with another traveler who is more than a traveler, and recently they find out that their partner is a weaver, or somebody who can weave timelines, and they feel manipulated. They just going through their life with their partner and trying to figure out which parts of their life was theirs in terms of the choices that they made, in terms of just moving through space, and how much of it was actually manipulated by this person who can weave lines, and who knew them before they could have ever imagined her.
In comparison, mine is like a like a fucky werewolf story.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. Which we needed, honestly. I was whenever we were going through the submissions, I was just like, we could do a fucky werewolf story, right? And like, everybody was like, oh, let me read it. So we all had to like each read it. And then it was like, yeah, absolutely, we could do this.
Like, I can use big words, and like, it's a play in the liminal nature of desire and our baser instincts, but also it's a fucky werewolf story. So yeah.
So what do you have coming up? Because I know, Dave, you have the press, and then, what is next on the horizon for you?
A few things. This month is wild for the press, so like, I won't get into all that just because there's like 8 things. But I just had a story drop in Cosmas Infinities that I'm really hype about. It's also kind of a fucky little story, but like longer, and it has footnotes. It has a lot of really gnarly footnotes that I think maybe is the first time I've ever written with those before. It's sort of like a tongue-in-cheek pop culture murdery little story called Top 10 Demons to Kill Before the World Ends. And then I have another story coming out in this month, at the end of the month, and it's in Lackington's, which has long been like a dream journal of mine. So it's funny. It's the problem with like writing long titles is then sometimes when you're recording a podcast, you can't remember the exact way that you worded it. Gosh, it's about wanton fruit, but I use a longer title, and it's basically an ode to Samuel Delaney-esque pulp sword and sorcery. And it's in their battle issue, which I'm really excited about.
I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I've just got work, mostly, which I guess is something that I'm still also quite passionate about. I've been considering writing another short, but time has been a bit of a pressing issue, especially now that in South Africa we are about to approach our third wave, or whatever that means nowadays. Work, and I guess just figuring it out and trying to see how far I can really push this new space to grow as a writer.
All right, everyone, and once again, that was Dave Ring. Dave is a writer who also oversees Neon Hemlock Press. I highly recommend checking out their output. You could check them out at neonhemlockpress.com, and Dave can be found at daveRing.com. And that's Dave-Ring.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at SlickHop. Our other guest, Chico Sizumo, I guess you'll just have to tune in next year and hope that she submits another incredible story to us, because Determined is really one of our favorite shorts of this year, and it's kind of amazing to think that that's her first effort. So thanks again for both of you being here. This was a wonderful conversation. And I am Sarah Century. You can find me at sarahcentury.com. And also Decoded Pride is available for sale now. So decodedpride.com, subscription for the year. You get 30 stories by 30 queer creators. It's $14.99. And you can also buy last year. So pre-order this year, buy last year. The sky is the limit, truly. Thanks again. Bye.